If you haven't been with us for the last several weeks, we've been going through Genesis chapter 1. Because the Bible declares that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the question is, how is it that God is creating in us? How does God do His work? How does He transform us from who we are when we come to Christ to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ today? And it says that's where we're headed, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When we come to God, we're not where we need to be. And we acknowledge that. We say we need salvation. We need to be saved. But what God does is not only does He declare us as saved, declare us as righteous, but He begins a creative work and process. And so often in our Christian lives, we fail to see that God wants to create something different and new in us, something alive, so that we don't remain in a state of death and producing the fruit of death, but rather that we can come to produce the fruit of righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "You did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you that you should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain." So that is what God wants to be doing with us. Now, let's turn to the book of Genesis chapter 1 and we'll pick it up here. All these sermons, if you're interested, are online. I think this is number 5 maybe in the series or so. And we've got a few more to go. But we want to see what God says. Now, Genesis chapter 1, as much as it is telling us how God created the heavens and earth, He is telling us and revealing to us how He creates us new as well. How we become a new creation. Last week, we were talking about the waters of life and the need for God's Spirit. This week, notice in verse 11 of Genesis chapter 1, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so." All right. Verse 12, "And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good." Now, I want you to notice that, how God said to the earth, let it happen, and then it did happen. He said, let there be these creations that come forth that bear fruit, the herb, the grass, and that they bear seed. And then the earth responded. Now, let me ask you this. On the most basic level, let's not be technical here. What do you need to make things grow?
Water.
Water, right? Water. What else?
Sun.
You need sunlight, right? You did the test, right? When maybe you were in kindergarten or first grade, right? You plant something, you water it, but if you cover it and don't give it any light, it doesn't really grow right, does it? So you need water, you need sunlight. What else do you need? Yes, Ethan. Soil. You've got to have some place to plant it, right? Right? Hydroponic is fake. But yes, you have to have something, because what they do with hydroponic is they actually feed all the nutrients that you get from the soil through a liquid form. So it's cheating, kind of, in a way. But basically, the reason you have to have soil, there has to be nutrients to nurture the seed, to nurture the growth. What else? No, but you do need a seed, don't you? Yeah, four basic things. Now, obviously, it's more complex than this, you know, in terms of, you know, the fertilizers and things of the earth. And we can get into all kinds of complex things. But generally speaking, you got to have seeds. You got to have sunlight. You have to have water. And you have to have some soil to plant it in. Now, I want you to realize that as we have gone through the book of Genesis, this is what God has been providing. Right? Where was the earth? It was drowned in water. It was covered in darkness. It was without form and void. So what God did was He said, okay, let there be light. And there was light. Right? He said, let there be light. Then He got the waters out, right? The waters of death. And He started to shape the earth. He brought forth the soil, the land. Then it said that He formed and put boundaries around the sea and the water, right? The living waters that would be there. And now He's saying, let there be these things that come forth that have seeds. Very specifically, He's telling us the four things that are needed to have growth are all being present in the creation. It is no different, my friends, with you and me. The planet Earth works in a certain way just as we do. We have to have the light of Jesus Christ. Without that light, we are in darkness. We are in our sins. We are in death. We have to have the light of Jesus Christ. He has to bring us out of that death and out of those waters of death so that we can be a new lump, a new creature that He can work with. And He says that when we repent and are baptized, and repentance is like a breaking up of the ground, a softening of it up, where maybe we were followed before, now it's being torn into by God, where we repent and change and say, feed me, put the seed in, I'm ready. He gives us the promise of the Holy Spirit, water. And then He plants in seed. Now God has a lot of seed. God has a lot of ways to plant, to bring things forward in our lives. But we've got to have the right seed. The seed that God wants to plant in our lives varies and different, but it's all very consistent. That what it will bring forth is good fruit. You know, you look across the planet, are you amazed at how many things God has made? I mean, it's not just that He made trees, but He made all these kinds of trees. It's not just that He made grass. He made all these kinds of grasses. Not just that He made fruit trees, but all these different kinds of fruit trees. Do you marvel at God in the way that He is able to produce and bring things forth that provide for this earth, that make it a beautiful place? And you really think, what makes the earth so beautiful? Isn't it the way God decorated it all? It's not just bland, is it? You know, it's not straight lines. There's hills and mountains and things wind and twist. God sculpted the land in a certain way to make it very beautiful. But He did it so He could bring forth fruit. You and I need to realize how foundational and how important the light of Jesus Christ is. The water of His Spirit is. A humble heart as the soil, and how much we need the seed that God gives, that God will plant in our lives. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. And thank you for playing, by the way, especially you, Ethan. It's very good. Ezekiel, chapter 36. Ezekiel, chapter 36, and verse 26. Ezekiel 36, and verse 26. God says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Again, this is Ezekiel 36, 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Okay. Why did God give us a spirit? What does He say? Anybody? Let's read it again. I've got to make sure you're with me here. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Why does He put His spirit in us? To be like Him. To walk in His ways. The things that we read about in this book are life to us. They're causing something to come forward that emulates who He is. You realize that the fruit that God wants us to bring forward are the same fruits that He produces in His own life. That's what He wants. If you look at God and you say, well, what is God like? What are the fruits of God's life? And you could identify what those are. Then you should know that when God plants in you and chooses you and God pours His Spirit on you, what He's saying is, I want you to be producing the same fruits that I do. This is what God wants. Any other fruit falls short of what God wants. What are the fruits that God wants us to have in our lives? So He says in verse 20, so then you shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers. You shall be my people and I will be your God. Why? Because we're imitators of Him. Remember, the children of God walk, talk, and act like Jesus, as the child of God. So he says, I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. And now notice this. He says, and I will call for the grain and multiply it. And I will bring no famine on you. You see, when you do these things, when you receive from God and are chosen by God, and as He puts His Spirit in you and begins to shape you, He says, there's not going to be any famine on you. I'm going to cause it to multiply. The light is good of Jesus Christ. The water of His Spirit is good. The seed of His Word is good. The soil, well, that's for you and me to choose, isn't it? What kind of soil are you? What kind of soil are you? Verse 30. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and increase and the increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. So now when you really start to think about this, what is God saying in your life? That if you are submissive to His work and His creative ways in you, that you'll never bear again the reproach of famine. You will produce the fruit of God. He will make you like Him. He will make you to bring forth this new and right image. Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 6. His whole hope in working with us and choosing us and selecting us is to take us from where we were as slaves of sin and to bring us to be slaves of righteousness, to produce a good and right fruit. Notice again in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 21. He says, what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? Speaking of our sins. Speaking of the things that were against God. He said, for the end of those things is death. The fruit that our life brings forward without God is death. God wants us to know that. But notice this, verse 22, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Do you remember how we talked about what is eternal life? Is eternal life just being conscious forever? Is that what God wants? Take the worst, most incorrigible, evil people and keep them alive forever? Is that what God is after? Or is God after a fellowship, a sharing, a relationship with us? You realize that what God is developing in us is a character that produces a fruit that is like His fruit, that we can share together, that we have things in common, that we can have a relationship. Who do you have the best relationships with in life? Aren't they people who share your beliefs, who share your way of living, who share a general approach to life? And even God says, what likeness, what bond can there be between a believer and an unbeliever? It's a very difficult thing to bring about. How can you walk together unless you're agreed? So what God is doing is bringing us to be like Him, to bringing us into an agreement with Him so that we can be His children, so that we can be like Him. Now, let's turn over to the book of Luke. Luke in chapter 8. Because we've focused on the light, we have focused on the living water, we have focused on the land being brought forth and being formed in shape, but we have to focus on this seed. Notice here in Luke chapter 8, verse 5, a parable that Jesus spoke. He said, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. As we look at Jesus' parable and the story of the sower, God, He's scattering seed about. But what makes the difference with what happens to the seed? The soil, right? What is happening with the soil? As the sower casts out the seed, what makes the difference whether that seed is the soil? Now, I want you to notice this because Jesus is going to give us a very powerful parable here, but the variable that he is teaching is the variable of the soil. What's assumed here then? The light is good. The water is good. The seed is good. The variable is the soil. The variable is, how did the soil, was it able to receive what's here? You have to have good soil to receive the good seed. Now notice in verse 11, he explains. Verse 11, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So as we think about God saying, okay, let the grass come forward, let the herbs come forward and they yield their seed, and let the fruit comes forward that yields the seed in itself. You start to think about God creating and bringing forth the seed and starting to bring forth fruit and basically making the earth beautiful. He does it by bringing forth seed. It is no different in your life and my life. We have to have the seed, the word of God in us, in order to bring forth life. If you don't have seed, you can have water, right? You can even have soil and light. Without the seed, what happens? It's not coming forward. You know, I just did some work in my yard this last week, last Sunday, and I planted some lettuce for the first time in my backyard, and I'm going to do it in stages. So I planted lettuce, but I've left other because in a few weeks I'm going to plant some more and I'm going to start doing a staggered growth in different areas of the land. Now, what I know is that if I keep watering and the way things are going to go, where I planted the seed, something's going to come up. And I also know that where I didn't plant seed, that stuff's not going to come up. Maybe some weeds will pop up, but not what I planted, not what I want to receive. So this is vital to understand. If you don't have the right seed in your life, if you don't plant the Word of God in your heart and in your mind, can anything come up that His Word could produce? Can His Word produce a fruit in you if you don't plant it? You can't do it. So God says, let it come forth. He plants. He says, let the things come forth, the grasses, which had their seed, as we know, the herbs, vegetables, right? Fruit. Isn't it amazing that in all the fruit that God produces, He puts the seed inside so they'll scatter and more plants can grow up and more fruit can be produced? He's doing a work on the earth, as we read about in Genesis 1, but He does the same work in our lives. This is a book of seed. This book can change your life if you plant it, and if it's planted in good soil. Let's read the explanation of this parable. Verse 11. So the seed is the word of God. Now those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, we can talk about this in a big, general, macro way, right? You hear the gospel, either you accept Christ or you don't. But you realize that as you get in to the Word of God, you start to learn more about the specific fruits. We're not just talking about fruit trees. We're talking about the Word of God, which breaks it down to oranges, apples, pears, right? Bananas. He breaks it down into specific things. So as you enter into the Word of God, you can read this Word, but it doesn't mean you're going to believe it. You can know what it says, but it doesn't mean it's going to come in. You see, the devil wants this Word to stay outside of you. The devil doesn't want the Word to be planted in your heart and in your mind. Because what does he know? You can know about the seed all day long, but it won't have any impact to produce fruit in your life if you don't believe it. You got to believe it. Okay, verse 13. But the ones on the rock are those when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. in time of temptation or trial or tribulation, they fall away. So, hey, I like what God says. I'm going to start doing that. It's easy to do when there's no trial, tribulation, or testing of it, right? Maybe you become convicted to start tithing. Tithing is easy when the money rolls in, right? But when the money starts to drop, well, it might not be so easy anymore. Maybe it's not so easy to be generous with God when it looks like your situation is bad. They call that a fair weather friend, right? A fair weather friend. He's friendly when things are good, but man, when that persecution comes, I don't know the guy. So you can have fair weather belief. Belief that's you apply when it's easy, but you reject when it's hard. That kind of belief won't work. Jesus said, "He who endures to the end, the same shall be saved." There is a patience and an endurance with God's word that's demanded of us. Okay? Now, verse 14. "Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity." In other words, you're hearing the word of God. It's coming on your life, but you're so busy doing other stuff. Seeking after riches, seeking after pleasure, seeking how you can be entertained. Seeking all the things that of life that simply just crowded out. You see, it's not necessarily wicked. It's not that you are out there being against God. It's not that you're out there being against His Word. It's just that you're so busy with other things, it doesn't have a chance to come forward. So many things of life get crowded out. And the more the cares of the world come in, the more they will, I promise you, they will crowd out the Word of God. How many of you have this this grass in your yard that it's kind of like a crab grass? It grows up and then it like goes down under the ground and it shoots a runner and then it comes up somewhere else. How many of you guys have that? That stuff is just, it has been my nemesis since moving to California. We didn't have it in Illinois, but this grass just seems to come up, and no matter how hard you try to eradicate it, it just keeps seeming to come back. So I've been frustrated for a long time, but now that we have more land and it's already made its way into my garden area, I thought, you know what, I have to take a new approach to this. I'm not going to eradicate it. I just got to realize I got to continue to fight it. Because that crabgrass is going to keep coming in no matter what. It just seems to find a way, and it hides under the soil, and it hides in places, and it keeps coming up. Now, there's something I have found about this, that the longer you wait to deal with it, the harder it is to get out, because it starts to fill in. And so as I'm going through one of these beds of in my new garden, it's maybe about 4 feet wide and maybe about 8 feet long, and it had really taken in a lot of root. I had to really dig down and work, and I'm pulling up all this root system that was there. But on the other side, there was just a couple pieces that were starting up. And you know what? It was easy for me to get in there, and they just came right out. But the stuff that had been there a long time, it was a lot of hard work. Eric came out and said, "Hey, Dad, did you pour a bucket of water over your head?" I'm like, "No, I'm just trying to get these weeds out. I'm working hard out here." You know? And so there's more work. Now, I want you to think about this in terms of the cares of life. The cares of life always come. You're not going to get rid of the cares of life. God put us in a vain state. Right? I've got to eat. Right? I need to get dressed, which means I need to buy clothes. I have to have shelter for me and my family to protect us from the cold and the heat and have a place to stay for protection. You start to think about life, right? You have your work, you have your job, which a lot for most of us means we need a car, right? We need telephones, we need computers, well, you get the point. The cares of life are here. It's not that you're going to eradicate them in one moment and they're gone. Even if you move out and become Amish and you get rid of all your electricity and all, do you think they don't have cares of life? It's ridiculous. Cares of life are on every person. You can spend so much time working a farm and trying to figure that out, you won't have time for God either. Okay? The point is this, the cares of the life are here. The thing is, as they start to encroach in where things are planted, better to nip them in the bud early than to let them grow for a while. If you let them grow unchecked, they're going to be real hard to eradicate. They're going to be real hard to take your land back so that you can grow good seed. Isn't it true? The longer you smoke, the harder it is to break the habit. The longer you drink and have alcoholism as a problem, the harder it is to break the habit. The longer you have a sexual addiction, the harder it is to break the habit. You got to nip it in the bud. The longer you let television come into your life, the harder it's going to be to break the habit. Whatever it is, I don't care whether it's sinful or even benign. God isn't saying that these things are wrong, the cares of life. They just can encroach so much that they squelch out the area of your life where He wants good seed to grow. We carry around this flesh in us. Remember what the curse was to the man Adam when they had sinned in the garden? He said, from now on, you are going to bring forth fruit from the ground by the sweat of your brow. It's not going to be easy, fans. It's not going to be easy, folks. It's going to be tough. So just mentally adjust. Not going to get rid of it. You're going to have to keep dealing with it. Mentally adjust. Don't get frustrated by it. Just be prepared for it. It's going to come. Whatever it is for you, it's going to come. So be mentally prepared for it. Verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience or endurance. They continue on. So in other words, the word of God comes. You hear it. You receive it with that joy. You believe it. You begin to act on it. When it says they hear it with a good heart, they keep it. It has to have an impact in your life. Belief will always result in action. Do you believe that? You want to know what you really believe in life? What you value? What you think is important? Write down everything you do for 2 weeks. You'll find out what's important. Just write down what you do. The way you spend your time. The way you spend your life. You'll find out what you value. Now, you go through seasons of life. Sometimes you're going to school and you're educating. You might need to spend more time with that, but it's for a goal and purpose later on. Right? My children all go to school. That's the way they spend a lot of their time, learning, educating themselves. So they can, in the future, be productive people in society. They can take care of their own families, their own selves. Right? So there's times of life. But the point of going through an exercise of seeing the way you spend your time, what you keep, what you believe, is do you make time for the planting and growth of this kind of seed and the fruit that comes from it? Do you make time for it? Do you really believe it? See, because the challenges of life will come. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever been mistreated by somebody and you thought it was at no fault of your own? Anybody not have that happen in their lives? Maybe that's a better question. Some of you are slow. I'm like, thinking about it. I'm not sure, right? So I'm trying to get you to participate. The thing is, when you look at life, you have these things that come along. You have choices that need to be made in your life. Now, back in the book of, or back here in Luke, in chapter 6, actually, Bronte read these verses today. I want you to ask yourself this question. When somebody in your life came and at no fault of your own started mistreating you or abusing you or being rude to you or whatever it was, what did you do? What would be the natural thing to do? What was that, Brad?
Do it back.
If somebody's mean to you, the most natural thing to do is be mean back, right? You're going to be a jerk to me, I'm going to be a jerk to you. My wife and I went to a meeting a few months ago, and it was for our HOA at our new place. And a guy stood up and said, basically, you be nice to me, I'll be nice to you. You're not nice to me, I will not be nice to you. The most natural thing in the world for mankind, to do as others do to you. Right? Except this isn't the way God works. And thanks be to God that He doesn't work this way, because we would all be in a lot of trouble if God operated on that principle. God produces a different fruit in His life. The natural fruit that we produce, we'll call them the weeds of life, is that when somebody is mean to us, we want to be mean back. We want to engage back. Now let me ask you this. If somebody's trying to pick a fight with you, and you just start fighting back right away with them, what is sure to come about? A fight. Strife. Right? What kind of fruit is that? Rotten. Stinky. It's bad fruit. So, what would Jesus have us plant? Notice this. In Luke chapter 6, and in verse 27, He said, I say to you who hear. Now, did you notice when we were reading back in Luke chapter 8, part of receiving the seed is to hear the word? He said, I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Now, there's the seed. That's the word of God. Why does God say this? Why does God say to plant this? Why does God say this is the truth? Here is seed that you need to plant in your life when others are being abusive to you. Notice this in verse 32. He said, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. Big deal. Even the guy stood up and said, hey, if you're good to me, I'll be good to you. But if you're bad to me, I'll be bad to you. That's the natural way. Jesus in verse 33 said, if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. You've done nothing special. That fruit comes easily. It's the fruit of reciprocity. God is not reacting to us. God is acting out of the sovereignty of His love and goodness. God can't help who He is. He's love. He acts out of love. Now listen, eventually, here's what God says. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. So He tells us to do something. He says, overcome evil with good. Basically, let me have it. Will you let God have it? Will you let God have the vengeance? Will you let God make it straight? Will you trust Him that He'll make it right? Or do you have to take that vengeance for yourself? See, vengeance is the natural way. And it produces war, strife, and conflict. God says, but this isn't the seed that I want. This isn't the fruit that I want of war, strife, and conflict. In fact, God says, I'm coming to get rid of it. So He says, do good to those. Now, notice in verse 35, I ask you the question. I said, why does He want you to do this? To love your enemies, to bless those who curse you, to pray for those who spitefully use you, to do good to those who hate you. Why? Verse 35, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Why does He want you to do this? Why does He want you to plant the seed? Because He wants you to be His child. Now, do you want to plant it? Naturally, you probably don't. Naturally, if somebody said to you when somebody's being mean to you, hey, you need to bless those who curse you, and you need to pray for those who spitefully use you, and you need to do good to those who hate you, and you need to take a different approach to actually care about your enemies. The natural thing to say is, I don't want to do that. What kind of soil would that be? That would be soil that's not ready to change. That would be soil not ready to plant. That would be soil that's hardened. That's not going to produce good fruit. In fact, you're going to find a lot of weeds in that soil. Because it doesn't want the good seed. My friends, this is just one example. We read a handful of verses here out of a book filled with verses to show you how you plant a seed. You've got to read the Word of God. You've got to be in this book often. For me personally, I have to pick this book up multiple times a day. Morning, noon, and night. I've got to be in it. I've got to know what's in this. Because I've got to keep receiving. Because I confess to you, I don't know if I'm always ready to hear it when I read it the first time. I can't read the book and say, well, I've been there, done that. Because I might have passed over the seeds. I might have heard them. I might have even received them with joy. But maybe they haven't been planted in my heart and in my life to where they have an application so that when the testing and the trial and the tribulation comes, fruit can come forward that is good. It's when you have these moments in your life and you start to see something not right, you have to stop yourself, open the book, go to the verses that address the subject and say, will I do this? Will I love my enemies? Will I do it? Will I do good to those who hate me? Will I pray for those who spitefully use me? I guarantee you this is one kind of seed that we humanly have all had trouble planting. But the thing is, the fruit that God wants in your life can't come forward without it. If you don't believe it and apply it, the fruit God wants won't come forward. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we'll finish up here. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. And verse 22. Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Whose are you? God's. What do you do if you are God's? You crucify the flesh and the passions thereof. What is the fruit that's coming out of your life? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you know what's amazing about these fruits? These fruits are not based on what somebody else does to you. They are things that you offer because of what God has done for you. God does something in your life. It is your response to God that causes you to love an enemy as God loved you when you were the enemy. It's the love of God in you, what God has done for you, that will cause you to pray for those who spitefully use you, just as God prayed for you when you spitefully used Him. You see, what we're doing is returning something to God, to be like God. It's not dependent on what somebody else does. It's what God wants us to do unto Him, that we may bring fruit forward. So again, let's use the example we've been going with today. In terms of planting fruit for God and planting seed for God, if what you're getting out of your relationships don't look like a fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, if the fruit that you can look at in your life is not this, but you find war, strife, anger, wrath, hatred, envy, bitterness, you've got to say, I got a seed problem here. I'm not planting the right seed. I'm letting other things choke out the good seed. I'm letting other things get in the way of what God wants to bring forward in my life. I told you, when we read the verses in Genesis 1, and at the end it says, and God saw that it was good, He's challenging us, do we believe it's good? Because ultimately, you have to say, I like the seed, I want it planted. Because the times of tribulation will come, and they'll say, don't do that. Do something else. Isn't that right? They come for all of us. The challenges against God's Word. So when we find in our lives, in our relationships, in our marriages, in our raising our children and parenting or being a child to our parents, when we find in our relationships that the wrong kind of fruit is coming forward, the works of the flesh spoken of here back in verse 19 of Galatians 5, you know, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, sorcery, hatred, idolatry, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. We've got to say, stop! Stop the madness! I am not being a fruit producer for God. I'm producing fruit of death, which I was supposed to come out of. I need to change. You want to repent? Do you want to change in life? It begins with just simple things like this. You're taking in God's Word. You read His Word so you know it, so that you can apply it when the situations come up. What needs to be planted here? The Word is the seed. The Spirit will enliven the seed in the soil that is your life. And the light of Christ will make it grow and flourish and produce good fruit. The things are being done for you, given to you, to make your life successful. The question is, will you yield to it? Will you yield to the work that God has? Now, this is how God draws us into His presence, how God draws us closer to Him in creating us new. Because He knows that when we plant it, the fruit will come forward. It's 100% guarantee. The crop will come up and some will produce 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. There will be blessing for you. So how do you change? You've got to receive the Word and you've got to believe it, act on it, plant it. You have to allow God and pray for His Spirit to water that in your life. And as it comes up, you just need to give it unto the glory of Jesus Christ and let Him bless that. Because His promise is true, that if you will do this, there will be no more famine for you. There will be good fruit in your land and in your life. God wants to beautify you. God wants to form you and shape you and change the landscape of your life. I don't care where you are today. I don't care what you've been struggling with. I don't care how long you've been facing the same sin. Sin after sin after sin. This way will work to cause you to overcome, to cause you to change, to cause you to bring forth good fruit. It's certainty. We just have to do it.